Jones, and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Xavier Lavaghetto, OP, pastor and director of the Catholic community. It is the 21st Sunday in Ordinary Times, and the readings are from Cycle B.
Now, some people are simply allergic to making commitments. One couple I prepared for marriage had a 17-year courtship. The bride's brothers told me, "I've seen ice glaciers move faster." Another lived together for over 25 years, and they never made it to the altar. He was simply allergic to the M word, marriage. And despite his deep and abiding love, he always got that deer in the headlight look when you said the word marry. For too many, committing is scary. Yet it's only our commitments that enact and enshrine our values. Commitment makes it real. Some want to keep their options open lest they miss out. FOMO. You guess that they end up with no options. Actually, making a commitment is what, in fact, allows there to be new possibilities in your life. Well, dithering about is the road to nowhere. Still, others don't decide. They simply kind of go along with the flow. Not really committing, they are half-hearted at best. And so the values don't really become firmly entrenched. I want to suggest that all three readings today insist that it's only by making a commitment that we become our values and enter into a really deep relationship. That is Joshua's challenge. The Amorites wanted an alliance with Israel. But they were also dangerous too. Will the Israelites prove false by gradually assimilating to the more numerous Amorites and their beliefs and practices? It was the constant temptation of Israel. And so Joshua gathered them at Shechem to put the question, will the Israelites be faithful to Yahweh, or will they choose the Amorite god El Bereth? To us, it seems a no-brainer. But it's so tempting to go with the local culture and creed. Besides, who wants to offend El Bereth, the local god of fertility? Lots to lose there. It's not just about worship, but whose values they will live. So Joshua invites the Israelites and the Amorites who want to join them to enter into a covenant, not a contract, a covenant, a relationship with Yahweh. This isn't just about law. It's about committing to a relationship and what kind of people they would become. And so Joshua says, if it does not please you to serve Yahweh, decide whom you will serve. That question is for us too. Join a political party over one issue and you will almost uncritically assimilate to the rest. And so Joshua asks us, if it does not please you to serve God, decide whom you will serve. Jesus asks the same. The people in John's day are hesitant. This is a hard saying. And let me be clear, this did not happen during Jesus' lifetime. Remember, the Eucharist was at the Last Supper. Surely, it includes the hard reality of Christ in the Eucharist, but it goes beyond it to Jesus' identity. Will you accept Jesus as God's wisdom himself? Will you make his values yours? And so Jesus asked the apostles, do you also want to go away? The evangelist adds another curious phrasing. And you should have noticed a kind of a shift here. It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe, or rather better, do not trust me. When Jesus says the flesh is useless, he's not speaking about bodily flesh at all. But the ruling principles of our society that capture our minds and hearts, greed, power, pleasure, revenge, and more. The Spirit gives life is Jesus' Spirit living, acting, guiding you. Jesus is talking about a dynamic relationship. What will have the allegiance of your heart? If it does not please you to serve God, decide whom you will serve. Now we have everyone's favorite verse, right? Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, be subject to your husbands, for the husband is the head of the wife. Needless, in over 600 weddings since 1996, only two couples asked for it. Can't imagine why. You got to put it back in its context. In those days, divorce was super easy. Super easy. Jewish women had no recourse. A mere slip of paper and she is dismissed. She's history. One rabbinic school allowed a man to ditch his wife simply for a prettier woman. What kind of commitment and relationship is that? In reality, the emotional support in the ancient world was not from the wife, but his buddies, especially his other male relatives. It was a really different world. The world of marriage and the kind of that emotional commitment is the invention of Christianity. Sadly, most people hear the opposite of what Paul is trying to say. He took pagan Stoicism, who wrote house codes describing the various duties of the people in the household, and turned it on its head. But we don't hear it. The translation hurts. What was one Greek sentence became two in English. It should read, be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ, wives to your husbands, da, da, da. In cutting the sentence in half and giving the second half only half of the original predicate, we've made Paul into an advocate of male domination. Don't go there. It's not what he wants. The controlling verb is mutually submissive. Be subject to one another. Wives to your husbands, and therefore husbands to your what? Your wives. This is a mutual thing. This is a very strange kind of submissiveness being talked here. It's a two-way street, not a one-way set of marching orders. The word headship also hurts too. One commentator said it means that the husband is to be his wife's first servant. How do you look? Not bad. He is to make his her focus, loving her as Christ loved the church, until death. Can you imagine the reaction when in a world where divorce was easy, how that went over? Bottom line, his wife is not disposable chattel. Paul is envisioning marriage as something new, dynamic, and mutual, for it mirrors God as a communion of love. It's all about living for one another God's graciousness to us. And we heard it at the very opening. Beloved, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God. Be imitators of God, both. Now, three readings are all about committing to a real relationship of shared lives, heart, and values. Now, these are hard days for the church, yet again, made harder by abusive clericalism. It's time to recommit our values commit ourselves to values and the mutuality of our relationships. It is made hard if we think it's all about membership in a broken church. And we are indeed broken, pursued by a loving and forgiving God. Christ is chasing after us to enter into our very flesh, to become part of your flesh, so that you may become part of his divinity. Our choice should be committing ourselves to live the Jesus way. So what is baptism of use but God's commitment to these children to be truly, literally his sons and daughters? And this is the children's first stage to what is a lifelong journey of responding in love to an invitation, God's invitation. What is planted in seed has to grow and be nurtured by committed, loving parents, family, friends. Our job, the job of the is to simply always form the larger communion of love. Now, I want to submit that the first way to make these kinds of commitments is enjoyment. Is enjoyment. To enjoy God's welcome. To enjoy being forgiven. To enjoy being loved by God. And in the light of that, our second task as stewards of his grace and presence is to become welcome, forgiveness, and love for others. This is all rises or falls on your personal commitment to a relationship with him. This is not about dominion. This is not about power. This is not about control. This is about relationship. You can't keep your options open with God. Give him permission to love you, and then live his love, live with his life.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director Gary Glover, with music by Albert Tomaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.